You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I have ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support oneofus.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Marriage. All right, Marco said it first. I just copied him. Marriage story. It's not a spinoff of The Princess Bride.
You saying that just says a lot about this specific film, though, Chris.
Does it? What does it say?
I don't know. It kind of does.
This does not feel like a Mel Brooks like.
It kind of does when Nell and Alda shows up. And
no, I mean, this is Noah Baumbach doing his first film. I believe his first film for Netflix.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been a fan of his ever since The Squid and the Whale in 2005, mm-hmm. where he was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, and it was well-deserved, because that movie, first off, criminally underseen. It's when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is one of the best scripts I've seen in I don't even know how long.
My best friend, like, that is one of his favorite movies. If ever I want him to watch a movie, doesn't matter what it is, all I need to do is throw out a Squid and the Whale comparison, and he's all over it. Like, he loves Squid and the Whale.
I was talking to Justin Zarian from Screener Squad. Now I've got Squeena Squad. But from Screener Squad. And, you know, we were both talking about Marriage Story, and he's like, have you seen Squid of the Whale? And I admit I have not. It's one of my blind spots. And he's like, oh, that's so good. And this is like a perfect companion piece to A Squid and a Whale, because apparently that movie is inspired by Noah Baumbach's The Divorce of His Parents. And the marriage story is more inspired by, is he divorced? I don't know.
I don't, honestly.
But again, the difference is one is kind of like from the child's perspective, not a child, an adult child, but still the child's perspective of their parents separating.
He has been divorced. He was married to Jennifer Jason Leigh for a while.
Oh, that's okay. Right. They
and
were
I think
married,
this was a bit
they?
More inspired by divorce, but from an adult perspective. And this is really, I'm just going to say now, this is one of the best films of the year.
Yeah, this is vying for my top spot.
I think we're looking at top spot.
Wow.
Yeah, we're looking at best original screenplay nominee.
We're looking at best actor and best actress nominee.
Supporting
actress for Laura Dern, for sure.
Who's been cleaning up.
I really will be surprised if this does not get a best picture nomination. Yeah. I think this is a shoo-in for best picture nomination. And like I said, there's been some ones that are top-notch this year, but...
But an original screenplay-driven film about real people and not a single false moment. That's vying for best picture.
You won a decade.
And this guy's been making
this is ours.
This guy's been making some very smart, very human movies for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I think this is unquestionably, hands down, the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way of already giving you how much we loved it, let's talk about what this film is actually about. Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver play a married couple with kids. He is a very successful theater director. Yes, that's a thing in New York City.
Like,
even though it's
living.
Clearly not on Broadway, but his wife...
he's a well-respected theater go. Director.
He's yes. gotten some acclaim.
I mean, he's gotten to the point
not
where
successful well, and he's rich.
Well, no,
he has,
but
he's have a grant. Doesn't
yeah,
he
has gets grants. He's like, I mean, he's at that point where he can make a living off of it, which is saying a lot for New York City. His
and
wife,
apartment like that.
Nicole Scarlett Johansson. She was a teen film actress that had like a silly sort of teen comedy film that she played the lead in that was a major hit. But then they met. And she ended up like abandoning that to move with him to New York from L.A. And pursue being is, an
she
actress.
She became
on
his
stage.
Premier actress.
Became his muse. I feel like she was like yeah. a Tara Reid type of actress before, and right. she was in L.A.
But yeah, they were kind of that like what was it? Ingmar Bergman and Liv Ullmann that kind of would do theater and films. Mm-hmm. But it's that idea of a power couple, and yep. they're well respected and admired. But there are starting. We're starting to see. Cracks in the relationship, and this movie starts off with one of the best gambits I've seen in a long time, which it starts off with both couples talking about what they like about the other.
Yeah, what the things are that they really enjoy, because they're going to see a marriage counselor before they've decided to actually move to divorce, and the marriage counselor has asked them both to write a thing about why they fell in love with this other person, what things they really, you know, really admire about them. And it goes through that with each one of them, and it makes you fall so madly in love with them as a couple
yeah.
that you spend the entire movie rooting for this to work out. As we yeah. watch it just starting to dissolve, because when we meet them, we know they have problems, but it's very shortly after that it's clear, well, they're splitting up. They're both very sheepish about it. Like, it seems like it's going to happen whether they want it to or not. And
they've
you're
agreed, no lawyers.
And you're unclear yeah, you know. Of why this is even happening. You just got told this right. huge list of what they like so much about each other. So why is this couple splitting up? Right. Well, as the movie plays yeah. out, and slowly it starts being the point where they kind of, taking the advice of friends and family, start deciding, okay, well, I guess we are going
to
get
lawyers.
They're trying
so hard not to become the people that would get divorced. They're yeah. trying so hard not to start hating each other. They don't want to be ugly to each other, and they're trying their, you know, with their utmost strength.
And she's moved out to L.A. To be with her family and explore going back into being a film and television
she's
actress
again.
He is not an L.A. guy. He is totally a New York guy, and is like, the idea was she would just go out there for a little while with the kids and then come back, and this keeps extending on further and further because she does have a pilot she signed on to. Her mom, played by Julie Haggerty, who I don't remember the last time I saw Julie
right?
Haggerty.
I saw
I was
her.
Like, Julie Haggerty's in
no,
this?
No, she, was, oh in, she was in that, oh God, that movie with Instant Family?
I don't know.
She played Rose Byrne's mother in Instant Family. It's the one where that couple adopts a bunch of kids.
Right.
And one of them draws like Sharpie makeup all over her face.
And that's one of the things you see that I really like about this movie is we're talking about this list where they're not just reading this list. You're actually seeing them go about like all of these charming little quirks and these little moments that, you know, things that they're passionate about. The one thing they both say of the other is that they both say they're competitive. And this is going to factor in later on as, you know, they start, you know, the stakes get higher for how this divorce is going to play out. What this film gets so well, and I've never been married. You know, I think anybody who's ever been in a long-term relationship or has been married or even has just friends and family, the things you love about a person are very often, after a while, the things that start to drive you crazy about them. Those little cute little quirks can become just infuriating little microaggressions
so
as you go on. He's like, oh, you know, she could never close a door, and you know, and
I used
she
to
always
find
does this.
It was a little annoying at first, but then it became charming, and then it becomes annoying.
It's like, oh, you know,
driving
he can't
me
ever
insane.
Stop giving notes because he cares so much, you know, and like, but you realize that those are the things I think anybody can relate to that. The only difference, of course, in a marriage, there are legal mechanisms for separating. You can say, you know, I'm going to walk away from this relationship with this friend or this family member. But when two people are married, you actually have to do some other things. And when they start doing that, that comes in the form of both people like Laura Dern and a great little cameo by Ray Liotta as the lawyers. And you realize that they are despicable they're very different, but you realize there's a with whole the industry. Yes.
Yeah, but you know, I love how also that how they can compartmentalize that.
Yes,
how they just put it aside. Like, we're getting together, right? And these two battling Lord Ray Liotta and Laura Dern, like, oh, we're getting together at so-and-so's house, right? Like, yeah, okay. Blah,
well,
blah,
they
blah,
both
blah.
Have their very different styles. Liotta is straight up a go for the throat because I guarantee you she's going to go for yours.
Right.
Like, I just trying to stir up all the worst feelings in Adam Driver, who, and both these people are going into this, the married couple, like, of like,
let's make this as clean as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just with the best of intentions. Neither one of them wants to hurt the other one or hurt the kids or anything. They want this to be clean. They both still on some level have this thought that maybe we won't have to go through this.
But
seems
you know
like.
What's so funny? It's like Laura Dern's the opposite in a way. She's like, I don't want to go for your throat, but I will.
She's doing the same thing. Yeah, she's just doing it appealing to the feminine. Yeah. He's going through the masculine, which is like attack, attack, attack.
Yeah,
and she's
yeah.
going through the, oh, honey, I totally know what you mean, but you know, you got to protect yourself. I mean, they're both like divorce lawyers.
Yeah. But then you have Alan Alda, who is the most, like, you know, pragmatic person in this movie, I think.
Yeah, but he's also ineffectual. He plays the second divorce lawyer that Adam Driver goes to, because at first he has no distaste
the for mall
the Ray Liotta's theatrics. And it's like, yeah, the guy's like, I mean, he's like the divorce lawyer equivalent of, like, Better Call Saul, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're sharks, and the thing about it is he realized, I think especially with the Adam Driver character, I mean, everybody flat out tells him, like, look, you're the guy. You're going to be the bad guy in this. You know, they're always going to side with the woman, you know, so, like, if there's been extramarital affairs, does she drink? You know, what can you dig up on her? And, you know, okay, she's in L.A., and there's a huge argument as to where they actually live where their child resides.
Are you
an
L.A. family or a New York
He's
family?
Like, so you have to, like, all these guys want a huge retainer. You got to get an apartment here. And he's like, but I'm directing a play in New York. Yes, but you have to establish residency here.
He has to,
because
he has
it's
to
LA
take
court.
On to like really you bad know. Plays, directing jobs in bad places, if you can afford an apartment and lawyers. And yeah,
I mean, a lot of this is almost Kafka-esque in that it's just like, well, I live in New York. Yeah, but you have to live in L.A. But won't that prove that I'm, like, you know, actually going against what I was saying I was going to do? It's like, no. Yeah, that could it could look that way, but you should actually just move here. And it's all the things people have to do to get a divorce. And you realize that as this progresses, this has the potential to get ugly.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it is like watching an autopsy. You hear about people having, like, autopsies done. This is like watching one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of horrifying in a charming way is the best way I
and
can say
it. And then it's also hilarious.
Yeah, it's very funny.
When the scene when Merritt Weaver, who plays Scarlett Johansson's sister, is tasked with serving the actual the papers. It is the most, like, you know, awkwardly handled, like, you know, like...
I love the fact that, like, but her mom and sister both love the shit out of Adam Driver.
Yeah. Like, and he's like, a good guy.
And it's a running joke that, like, she's like, we're getting divorced. You can't do this. And they're like, oh, I miss you so much.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that this movie gets so right. Because a lot of times you think, well, it's two people who are divorcing. Occasionally there's a child, which there's a very fine child actor in this who actually didn't ever pull me out of the movie. I thought he was a very unaffected child performance. And of course, the child loves both of his parents, you know, and doesn't want to make this worse. But the thing that this movie gets so right is the idea that when you divorce someone or you break up with someone, whatever that case is, you're not just separating from that person. There's an extended family. You see that he loves his wife's family. And
it is
they
genuinely
love him.
A life. It
and
is
then
genuinely
likewise
entire
back
life.
In New York, the theater company, they're like, oh, you know, they're all missing her too. And they are that idea that I can't just...
No, it's
divorce
always going to be
this person. I have to lose an entire world.
Divorce is always much bigger than anybody would ever assume.
Yeah.
And this movie, like I said, it really dissects the act of divorce.
And
you
it builds to this emotional climax that is one of the most upsetting scenes I've seen in any movie.
But
this
my
year.
God, I felt like I had a release of catharsis. You know, like cathartic moment after watching that. And I'm not going through anything remotely close to that.
And
oh my god,
it's just
a release.
This incredible scene. Like, like if I was to pick one scene this year, be like, wow, that's the most powerful thing you're going to see this year. It's that scene, and certainly the one that's going to decidedly get the best actor nominations for Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver.
It's a combination of good actors. Acting, good writing, good directing. I mean, everything that makes this movie so great is in that scene. Because there's even laughs in that scene as well.
I mean, they have that big moment together, but they also, in other parts of the movie, equally get huge moments just by themselves. Scarlett Johansson mm-hmm. does this great monologue in almost one shot.
Right. You know, yes.
And it's so when it's in very Laura Dern's early office, in the movie, yeah. And then Adam Driver, who's back in New York hanging out and commiserating with his friends in a bar, he gets a great moment too. So there's just, these are like little arias. That's the duet. But they both get their little aria where they just yeah. spill their mm-hmm. guts about what's happening to them and how it makes them feel. And I know we're probably making this sound like a huge bummer.
This but is a it's, hilarious
it's
movie.
It's, yeah. it's hilarious. It's heartwarming. And I think it ends on a note of hope.
It makes you feel a lot of different things.
It really does. But it is the quintessential. This is the textbook definition of a dramedy. And I know that's a made-up genre yeah. in a lot of people's eyes. But, you know, people don't think they can actually balance drama and comedy, you know.
It feels like one of those way, those films from the Woody Allen heyday when he was yeah. doing, when he had
maybe,
that mixed jump,
you see,
right?
I got, maybe this is because
I was like in Kramer versus Misdemeanor.
Well, do you know what? I kept on thinking, and this is whenever Julie Haggerty showed up and whenever Alan Alda
Airplane.
Showed up.
Airplane. I always think of
Airplane. Well, I think of Airplane, but I thought of a lot of Albert Brooks in this film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
sure
what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was known as the West Coast Woody Allen.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know.
I agree with you. This, all yeah. those bits of all those things are here, but at no point would you mistake this for a film by those other people.
No.
Because
no.
Baumbach has his very own distinct voice.
It's his
He
flavor.
Just makes
yeah.
movies for grown-ups about grown-ups mm-hmm. dealing with grown-up problems in a way that's engaging, interesting, funny, heartbreaking. And Marriage Story is his, I mean,
it doesn't talk down.
It's one of his, it's his Everest. It's clear from everything he said about it. This was an incredibly hard journey for him writing this film and directing
it. But also cathartic.
But very cathartic.
Yeah. I was disappointed that I didn't get to see the Kylo Ren Black Widow team up.
He lucked out with these two actors. Basically,
he really
just,
did.
You know, just, I mean,
it's like, who's not making a Marvel movie or a Star Wars? Yeah. Are you available?
You two, you're both. You're
I just
both
need
okay,
you
right?
for a month. Come on.
I mean, there's something like, say what you will about all those, the big genre films. The fact is, more butts are in seats and watching this because
exactly.
of the recognizability
well,
of
now,
these
okay.
two actors.
Now, I'm not going to open a can of worms here, Chris. I'm just going to keep it sealed. I'm just going to show it here.
Okay.
But
ooh, nice can of worms,
thank
Frank.
You, right? Yeah. yeah.
Who brings a can of worms
closed.
To a review?
Yeah,
well,
it's disgusting.
He brings it specifically not to open it.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you brought it up for everyone.
I'm on a fry some occasionally, you know, but is this movie because Netflix wants to be in business with you know, well-respected filmmakers, or is this movie existing because of Marvel and Star Wars being what they are in this present day and age?
I mean, the point is, who cares?
Yeah.
People got
well,
to
enough.
See this. People are actually going out of their way to watch this film because of the way these stars have been elevated from those genre pursuits. Yeah. And I'm like going, it'd be nice if we had more of a mix. I'll hear you out on that, Scorsese. But like, let's go. Don't say that these films aren't doing anything for the other type of cinema. Because
they serve a
when
purpose.
You can cast,
they do.
When these actors like this and those big films also get a lot of up and coming new actors. They're not just taking from the big already known names. I mean,
hey,
they created
know, if,
Adam
if,
Driver.
If it wasn't
they
for,
got
you know,
their money from Disney, so they can go
for,
and do this.
Yeah. I'm all about that train of thought. If it wasn't for Twilight, we wouldn't have gotten Planet Seeds of the Ghost Rider, which is making my best of death. Decade.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Which film?
The Ghost Rider.
The Ghost Rider?
The Ghost Writer.
Writer?
Yeah, like,
well,
a,
not writer.
Like someone who writes a book on behalf of somebody else.
Who did that?
Polanski.
Oh,
right. That was yeah. with
Kate
Winslet.
That's in your best of the decade?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Frank, I love it.
And it's from Summit Entertainment. And we could not have had that had we not had Twilight and all that shit that brought with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah. So I agree. That's a good time.
I mean, wouldn't have had The Lighthouse.
Yeah,
so, you know,
Robert Pattinson, yeah. who, you know, not unlike Adam Driver, is one of those actors working today who is just picking really smart directors to work with.
Yeah, who's like, who can do that? Actors are now at this point where they want to do that. And I wish more people would make a bigger deal about that, of going like, I can't wait to work with all these people who are true creatives, that now I have the power to do that because of being in these genre pieces.
Also so creative.
I want to attract people to these other films by these other really amazing people and teach them about other types of cinema by means of my name being in them. I think this is like kind of a master class in doing
well,
just
well, you can
that.
Always tell like when an actor is curious, and Robert Pattinson is, Dwayne Johnson's not curious.
No, he
Jumanji,
is not.
Jungle Cruise, that dude ain't curious for shit.
I mean, Jumanji
but,
is fun as shit, but he is not going to be appearing in
he's
a Noah Baumbach
film. Come on, Dwayne Johnson's not a fool. He knows what people come to see. He knows what he likes.
Yeah.
I think someone like Adam Driver or Robert Pattinson, and even now Scarlett Johansson, they're smart enough to go, hey, we can, or Laura Dern, who will be in some crazy batshit 3 hour long David Lynch movie, and then we'll go do a Star Wars
and
movie.
Alan Alda's just glad to still be not dead.
That's right. But can we say just like, my God, Laura Dern was made for someone like Bombay.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of her in his films.
That long rap that she has at the very end. Yeah. She's been not this cartoonish character, but she's been a very sort of a personality type throughout the entire film. And that last scene had such a. That last speech that she's given is such clarity and self-awareness, and is just so. I mean, it's a sad thing that stuff that she has to say, but my God, she sells it, and you know, it says a lot. You see the character in a different light in the way she sells it, and
yeah. No, yeah. I mean, completely. These characters are nobody in here is one-dimensional at all. Mm-mm. Like everyone is given their levels of depth, and that's part of why, like I said, this is a movie for grown-ups, but it's also one that like. It's not one of those movies like, oh, a movie for grown-ups, boring. It's fun. It's a fun movie to watch. It's invigorating because it's just such good cinema. But let's go to final thoughts. Frank.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we saw this at a screening. We saw it on a big screen, kids. We didn't see it, you know.
You did. Oh, no, wait, you and I did.
Yeah, we did.
That's right, Marco.
I saw it on a screener.
Oh, yeah, okay, well.
God, Marco, Jesus.
Foot tastes good, anyways. But... I was choking up with like laughter at the. We never talked about like we dwelled on. We talked about it a little bit, but how funny this movie is! That one scene with the social worker, that goes to his apartment. I just could not.
Martha Kelly, by the way.
Yeah,
and a lot of people are now going. Nobody's bringing her up about how great she is.
I mean, my God, she was just. Yeah, she was hysterical. That was the most awkward person to ever have to work with children and go to houses and evaluate what a normal family is. And she doesn't look like she ever leaves a house herself.
Or like Wallace Shawn is like one of the older members of the theater company who's giving Charlie advice, like, "Hey, go and fuck everything while you can now."
But yeah, I mean, and that scene with when he pretends to cut his arm, and it's like, this movie has those moments when it's very, very funny, but it's also, you know, grounded in such a reality that is sadly too many people's reality. But there were reasons for him to make this movie, and by God, I'm glad that he did. Before this, my favorite film of his was, the other movie he did with Adam Driver, which is called While We're Young, with Ben Stiller named Naomi Watts and Amanda Seyfried. Yeah. And it's about this older couple who are in their 40s who befriend a couple in their 20s, and they start to notice the generational differences. And I love what that said about the transition of age and then the sensibilities and the mentality of age and when you should adopt – you know, new ones and blah, 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 whatever. But I loved how he honed in on that aspect of life in such, you know, a poetic way. And he did the same thing with this, and he made it entertaining as well. This is, you know, this is one of those screenplays you could just bathe in if it was it's like a hot tub of water. It really is. And it's matched by the acting. It's matched by just the way it's paced, the editing. It doesn't villainize either person, which I think is really important because, you know, you get these people. You hear their cases, and you understand both of them. I love this world he created with both of them. And this is one of the best of the year. This has made my top of the year too. My top list of the year, top 10 list of the year.
You're not going to be more specific than that.
No, this is across the board. I'm putting this forward for whatever I can. So I got to give this 10 out of 10. But the space. That's been my go-to. Every time somebody mentions something about Marriage Story on Twitter, I always respond with, but the space.
One of the better running gags.
Yes, totally.
Marco? You know, this is we say this every once in a while, but I think it's really true. This is an instant classic. Mm. I mentioned things like Ordinary People and Kramer versus Kramer, films that are, you know, perhaps not as well remembered now, but certainly in their day were big hits, very successful, topical, and still relevant today. And Marriage Story, I think, fits in that same category. It's a movie about adult things for adults, like Chris said. And that's not to denigrate any other genres. It's just there is a space for movies that are about more quotidian, everyday kind of things that real people have to deal with.
You just
with.
Said quotidian.
I did. Review.
But the you space.
It had, kids, don't worry. It had titty in the middle.
It had. Thank you for saving my reputation there, Chris. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, all the superpowers in the world ain't going to help you get out of this. This is something people have to deal with every single day. And to see it done in a way that is doesn't slip into bathos, that isn't like just some angry screed. It's not, you know, some misery type of a sob story. You get to run, like Chris was saying, and I think, Frank, you pointed this out too. It's the gamut of emotions. You know, mm-hmm. you see the joy and the love and the despair and the anger, the pettiness, the bickering, but also the uplift of this. And this movie actually, for all the... If I could tell you all anything, if you've been listening to us thinking, Jesus, guys, that sounds like a real downer. It's not. You are going to leave this movie feeling uplifted and happy. Mm. I can't even believe what alchemy... Noah Baumbach managed to pull that off, because all the ingredients are here to make something really... This isn't War of the Roses, okay?
No, which is an ugly that. Film about
It's an
divorce.
Ugly but film I've, about divorce.
Damn it if I don't love that movie.
I've tried three times it. Now, and I'm like, I so just great. Do not
When
see
I watch
it.
You eat, yeah. when I look at you lately, so I just want to smash your face in Kathleen Turner. That's my Kathleen Turner impression. Sorry, Marco, go ahead.
No, it's quite all right. I was entertained. But yeah, this is definitely on my... it's going to be top one or two of the year so far. I mean, there's always a chance that I'll see something else that is going to knock it
Cats.
Out of there.
No,
I think no, this is absolutely sakes. A lock for best screenplay award, original screenplay. And I think absolutely the two leads. This is career best work from both Adam Driver
absolutely.
And... you know, I love her to death, even though she seems to be putting her foot in her mouth every time anybody talks about anything. But Scarlett Johansson does prove that she is a fine actress in this, and she really gets to show what she can do. And also, you know you're dealing with sexy Adam Driver because his hair covers his ears. That's what I've learned about Adam Driver. If they want him to be sort of sexy and intriguing, he just gets his hair get shaggy and cover his ears. For like... more character or eccentric type roles, he just combs it back and you can see his big ears stick out. That's the Adam Driver secret, by the way. So anyhow, I am going to give this 10 out of 10 bloody shirt sleeves.
Yeah, I think this movie is just delightful. It was just such a huge surprise being as good as it was. I mean, I'm a Noah Baumbach fan, but I'll be honest, Squid and the Whale was decidedly my favorite film by him before now.
Is that his first film?
Yeah. Kicking and Screaming.
Oh, right.
But I've liked pretty much everything he's done. I mean, I thought some of his stuff with Ben Stiller got a little too Ben Stillery. But
don't say that one.
No, come on. You know,
no,
but
I
Francis
it.
Ha is wonderful. You
yeah,
know,
it is.
Like
yeah.
it just like his relationship with Greta Gerwig as an actress has been charming to watch play out over time. They're actually in a relationship, I believe, in real life.
Oh, good for them.
But this is just kind of a perfect film, quite frankly. If you're like, it's just not my kind of movie. It might actually be. I mean, it's on fucking Netflix. I'm saying,
yeah.
give it a shot. I just think it's one of those films. I can't imagine that anything but the hardest of hearts or the most disinterested in the real human condition folks are going to be able to pull away from this, because it just reached in and grabbed me immediately from the mm-hmm. get-go. And it's such an odd thing, and that so many films about divorce are just so ugly. And this is not an ugly film. It's about fear of ugliness. Mm-hmm. You are rooting for both of these people. I mean, anyone who gets online, and I've seen multiple people respond to that. I haven't actually seen anybody do this, but I've seen people responding to people who I guess had, who pick a side, missed the point of this movie entirely.
Yeah. I was so afraid this was going to be like Glengarry Glen Ross meets Kramer versus Kramer.
Mm. Right.
Where it's like, you have to pick a side, and either side you pick is wrong. And I'm
right.
like, no, you don't have to pick a side.
You're not supposed to pick a side.
Sometimes there is no right or wrong.
The thing
party.
Is, you are in love with them being a couple to some degree, and it's about coming to terms with the fact that some things just aren't meant to be, no matter how good they sound and how much you might want them to be.
Yeah.
And that's kind of beautiful in the way that he pulls this off. I think this is a perfect movie. I'm going to give this 10 out of 10. Ah, shit. You know, I was going to go with the space thing,
no,
too.
No, that's
so
my...
I was just like covered ears.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, lighters in a Halloween jack-o'-lantern.
There you go.
But is
really
this
good
the
David
first
Bowie
time
costume.
Where... In yes. a review where everybody gave it 10 out of 10.
I don't think it's the first
time. Well, it's the first time
I've
ever
can't
been
remember
on.
What, yeah. what was the last time that happened?
Well, that's because you are cynical, hard-hearted bastards.
We're also, no, well, I'm not. I am probably not in 21st century 2019. I am not a cynical moviegoer. I'm proud to say that. But I think there's also only three of us.
Yeah, that's here. True. If there'd been more here, I'm sure
the trifecta.
If Ben was here, so he'd be like, well, it's like, you know, 8.5.
Patients would be like, this is boring. Nobody died.
There's like, I kept going, pull out the chainsaw. Where's the chainsaw?